Good morning and welcome to chapel for the first day of the final week of summer school. We are going to begin by singing hymn number 52, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Let us pray. Our magnificent Heavenly Father, we come to you today in a spirit of worship, and we do pray that during this time we will enjoy true worship of you and all that you have done for us through your plan from eternity past that extends into eternity present. Be with us now as we enter into this time of worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read, first of all, from John chapter 21, regarding the third resurrection appearance that is cited in the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, Come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. It's interesting that now we are in a political election year in which you're going to start hearing various slogans. Every party will have its own slogan and catchphrase. Some of them turn out to be good and attract people. Others will be a turnoff. You just don't know what will happen. Some slogans have been unwittingly prophetic. For example, in 1972, when Richard Nixon was running for president, the slogan was, Nixon's the one. They found out afterward he indeed was. So you have to be careful with your slogans. Nixon would have done better to repeat his slogan of 1960, which was, experience counts. Except then he had been out of office for so long that they wondered if he had any. But we have missed a great opportunity with some of the slogans that could have taken place this year. Perot has dropped out, so therefore we can't see the Perot commercial with the slogan showing a picture of George Bush and Bill Clinton. And that picture, he'd say, first of all, this is George Bush. This is George Bush on drugs. We didn't get to see that. But the slogans can be important. You can have a slogan that has real meaning and can sum things up in a single word. We have a slogan in this chapter, believe it or not, in the portion that I read, you might not have caught it, but the slogan was what the beloved disciple said when he saw the risen Christ standing on the shore and having told him to cast the net on the other side of the boat to catch all these fish. And the slogan was very simple. It was, Hakurios Estin, the Lord it is. It is the Lord. That was the slogan. Nothing more needed to be said. It painted the whole picture. Now, the later church emphasized the resurrection by saying, Aneste Hakurios, the Lord has risen, to which an answer was given, Alethos aneste, he is risen indeed. That emphasized the truth of the resurrection. That point did not have to be emphasized here. These disciples had personally already encountered the risen Lord on two occasions, one on Resurrection Sunday itself, when they were in the upper room on that evening, and the second time 8 days later. John has already recorded both of those appearances. And both times, the large body of the 11 that are remaining disciples, minus Thomas the first time, with Thomas the second time, saw the risen Lord in person. They were able to converse with him. They could touch him. And when Thomas doubted, as you remember, Jesus said for Thomas on his appearance the second time to go ahead, put your fingers in the holes in my hands, thrust your hand into my side, verify that it's me. And Thomas was already convinced. He didn't need to do it by that point. So these disciples that are gathered here at the Sea of Galilee, who are going fishing, know that truly the Lord has risen indeed. They know this. There is no question in their mind that Jesus has risen. How much time, however, has passed between this appearance that is coming in chapter 21 and the last appearance a week after the resurrection, we don't know. All we do know is we have a time limit of 40 days, because we know that the ascension took place 10 days before Pentecost. Sometime within the 40 days, we have a Galilean appearance that is taking place. It's not surprising, but the first two appearances John records were both in Jerusalem and apparently in the upper room. We know from the other Gospels that there was going to be a scheduled appearance in Galilee. They were told to go to a certain mountain, which Jesus had appointed them to go to. That they could expect, because it was appointed. But here is a resurrection that is coming a third time before they have had an appearance at the appointed mountain, and this one is totally unexpected because they are waiting for the appointed time, apparently. So he's at the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are there going fishing, plying their normal trade. They are not going fishing to relax. It's not like we go fishing because we just want to get away from all the bustle of life. They are going fishing because it is their normal trade. They are bringing fish in so they can then sell the fish and that they can have a livable income to support themselves at this point. And of course, there's nothing wrong with this. They are still planning to go to the mountain for the appearance at the anticipated time. But when they go out and fish, and in the Sea of Galilee, they're dragging a net through the sea, for them to catch nothing after having toiled all night is itself a very unusual occurrence. Now, if you're fishing with a hook and a line, certainly you can go out and catch nothing and tell everybody how much you really did catch, the one that almost got away or the one that got away. But in fact, catching nothing with a net is very unusual. It's not likely that you would drag a net and catch absolutely nothing. The Sea of Galilee is full of fish. So there is a little bit of miraculous providence already setting this up for the miracle. And there's no problem, since Jesus Christ, being sovereign God, has the option of telling the fish where to go and where not to go. And we might not think of it this way, but if he controls even the will of the fish, he does have a little bit of sovereignty over us also. But the fish aren't there. They have labored all night and caught nothing. Now, they are out in the boat, as it says, about 200 cubits from shore. This is probably 300 yards or so. And they're in a prime area where they normally would be dragging the net for fish, having caught nothing. And then they see a fellow on the shore. They do not recognize the fellow. Even the disciple whom Jesus loved did not recognize Jesus in his resurrection body standing on the shore. And it probably is very much the same as with the two that were on the road to Emmaus. Their eyes were holden so that they should not recognize him. For whatever reason this is done, we don't know. But the distance is not so great that they might not have been able to recognize him. Even though you might think a football field's distance is pretty long and pretty far to try to recognize a single person standing on the shore, but maybe they could have had it not been held from them. But the miracle becomes another sign for the Gospel of John, a post-resurrection sign, to establish the authority of who Jesus really is in his risen state, he still is the same Lord that he was before the crucifixion. And he is still in control. So he simply says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some fish. He's not telling them exactly what they're going to find. He just says there'll be some fish on that other side, so they draw the net and they can't pull it in. They aren't sure what they've got, but they know they've got a lot of fish in there. They aren't sure what kind of fish. They aren't sure how big the fish are, but they know that they have a lot of fish. The miracle is already accomplished at the point that they threw the net in. Jesus Christ himself had already prepared the fish to all be on the right side of the boat. And lo and behold, now the net is full. They can't bring it in because the net would probably break if they tried to pull it in the boat. Actually, the fact was they couldn't lift it. It was so heavy. They are actually going to be amazed later on that the net didn't break. So with the net full and them 100 yards from the shore, John, who is probably the more astute of the disciples, figured out that we just have seen a miracle take place. Who would have performed the miracle except the Lord? He came to the quick conclusion without having to recognize Jesus on the shore by sight, but recognized that this is the Lord. His hand is in it. He is the one who is performing the miracle. John is convinced. John's ready now to say, let's take the boats back to shore. We've got our nets full. Peter is a little impetuous, as he usually is. Once Peter figured out who it was, because John told him, I'm not sure Peter could have figured it out otherwise, because sometimes Peter's a little bit slow, but Peter put on his outer garment, because he had been stripped for work, and he then jumps in the sea, and he's going to swim the 100 yards, because he figures I can do that faster. And he's lucky he didn't drown, because the last time he tried to walk in the water, he almost did, if you remember. Lord, I'm sinking, help me. But this time he's swimming. I don't know if he was planning to walk or not, but he swam this time. And here he is heading to shore. So Peter's getting there. He's already going to be there by the time the other disciples arrived. It says the other disciples came in the little boat that they were in, and they weren't far from land. So they got there fairly quickly, and I'm surprised that Peter was able to swim 100 yards in any faster than they could have really rowed the boat in, even dragging the net. But he apparently probably beat them by a short amount. But as soon as they came to land, lo and behold, here's a fire of coals, and on the fire of coals is some fish laid and bread. Now, these aren't fish they caught. These are fish that Jesus had already there. Where'd he get them? We don't know. Is this another miracle? Maybe. Is the fire in itself a miracle? Is the provision of bread a miracle? Did Jesus magically, miraculously make it appear? We don't have any word saying where it came from otherwise. Of course, Jesus could have come and brought his bag of charcoal and the bread and the fish, but he might have just performed another miracle right there. It's no harder for Jesus to perform this second miracle than it would be to make all the fish on the right side of the boat appear. So here we have this fire with fish laid on it. Now, they've already caught a whole bunch of fish, but the fire is there already grilling the fish. It's interesting, this is something that probably doesn't get seen in English, but the word for fish that is in verse 8, where they're dragging in the net with fish, is the normal word ichthus, which is your normal generic type of fish. When you have the fire of coals and fish laid on it, the word changes to the word apsarion, which is a diminutive, which tends to mean little fish. And these could be the kind that are known today as St. Peter's fish, the small little fish that happened to thrive in the Sea of Galilee. They are edible, though not much meat on them. And it's possible that what we have here is a distinction being made between the fish in the net and the little fish just by the change of wording. We do not see a great emphasis made on this, but you will see perhaps a sense of humor that is going to take place here, that when Jesus tells them in verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Now we know from verse 8 they caught ichthus. They were ichthoi. They were the generic kind of fish. But Jesus in verse 10 says, bring some of the apsarion which you have just caught, using the diminutive form, which is the little fish. So Simon Peter, who else would do it first, more than anybody, he went up and dragged the net to land. And it says, not full of apsarion, but full of ichthoi, megaloi, great fish, large fish. Not these little opsarion, but 153 extremely large fish. And the extra comment added by the evangelist here is, although there were so many, the net was not broken. Peter probably was worried more about whether the net was broken than how many fish were in the net. I suspect John counted the fish. Peter was sitting there looking to see if there's any holes in the net. But 153 large fish, not the little opsarion. When Jesus told them, go bring some of the opsarion, they can come back and tell Jesus, there are no small fish, there's no little fish in this net. It just reconfirms and intensifies the aspect of the miracle that is taking place. So when they come back, Jesus says to them, come and eat breakfast. He doesn't say, let's now fry these fish you brought. I suspect they didn't bring back any opsarion. They didn't bring back any little fish. They just came back with a report, there are no opsarion there. There's only the ichthoi. So come and eat breakfast, he says. I've already got the opsarion on the coals. And apparently they did. They sat down and they had a morning meal. And none of the disciples, as it says, dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Their eyes still may have been beholden so that they could not recognize him. But no one was going to ask because they knew. They saw the miracle. They saw the evidence of the greatness of the miracle. And they're not asking the question, who are you? They don't have to. The sign evidences who the identity is of the one giving the sign. That's what the Gospel of John is, the Gospel of Signs is. All the signs that Jesus performed are to confirm his messiahship, who he is, what authority he does these things by. And now they're having breakfast with him, knowing who it is, even if they don't recognize him by sight. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Again, the word opsarion is used. This is similar to what took place at the feeding of the 5,000. There, they started with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and it was multiplied to all of them. Once more, we have bread and fish given to the disciples. Where this bread and this fish came from, we don't know. Whether it's another miracle, it doesn't matter whether it's feeding 5,000 or whether it's feeding seven disciples. That's what we've got in the group right here. But the evidence is there. And this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. What is important is that it shows that the Lord will work at times when you least expect it. They were expecting an appointed appearance on a mountain in Galilee. Here, at a time they didn't expect it, the Lord appears, the Lord works miracles, and the Lord gets involved in their life. And so it is in our own situations. We pray and we expect the Lord to do things in our life if we pray in faith. If we are faithless, we are not expecting him to work. And yet sometimes he'll work whether we pray or not. Sometimes he'll answer the prayer quite differently than the way we prayed. Again, it's his sovereignty being implied. But he will work. Providence continues to operate regardless of what we think is God's timing. God works on his own time, and he will answer our prayers. He will supply all of our needs, but he will do that according to his own time and not when we call him on demand. The disciples are themselves quite surprised that they got a resurrection appearance when they were least expecting it. They were, of course, surprised on Resurrection Sunday because none of them were ready to believe at that point. They had all had doubt. They all still had doubt even later on. Once you have Jesus appearing later on at the time of giving the Great Commission, it says, and they worshiped him, but some of the 11 disciples still doubted. But doubt does not prevent God from working. He is alive. Jesus Christ is risen. It is the Lord. There's your slogan. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is still working. My Father worked hitherto, and I am working even now. He is still working. He is still operating, controlling this world, and even controlling our lives. Our duty is to recognize this and to be humble and to accept God's will for our lives and His control. You can't have one without the other. If you want to accept His will for our lives, you also accept His control for our lives. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank You that we are able to read Your word, to receive this revelation, and to learn from Your word that we might apply it to our lives so that we may continue to be edified, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we take this message to heart and apply it today. Be with us now as we dismiss. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.